You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back to the program, and we begin with some breaking news from the Southeastern Conference. A lot of speculation about the future, what the schedules look like, and we have that for you right now. As the SEC, as we speak, is revealing the 2025 opponents. Remember the big reveal for the most recent season. Here are some of the headlines. The same conference opponents as 24. The sites are flipped for equal number of home games. The format provides additional time to understand the impact of the changes. So in other words, you could, say an 11 o'clock game in the Central Time Zone. It could possibly go as late as, I believe, 11:45, depending on circumstances. So there is a bit of a stutter step to the schedules. No times have been released yet, but the most important thing to remember is what is happening in 24, and I realize we have not seen that season, will happen similarly in 25, meaning eight conference games. We're looking at some of the schedules, and we'll continue to as the afternoon rolls on. So Alabama, you saw the schedule up on the screen a minute ago. Georgia next year will play at Alabama at home, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Texas. That's a pretty good home schedule. And away, of course, at Auburn, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Florida being the neutral site game. So quite a bit happening, and we'll share all of that with you as we work our way through the afternoon. Vandy getting ready for spring ball. And speaking of Vandy, we will have the head ball coach from Vanderbilt on a little bit later, Clark Lee. We're 2.5 hours away from that. Todmeyer joining us in a few minutes, and we'll get his reaction to the SEC's news of today. And, of course, Seth Emerson also covers the SEC for The Athletic, as well as a big day tomorrow and throughout the weekend with March Madness. We will speculate on all of those games as well. Welcome to the afternoon here. We'll take your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we'll continue sharing the schedules, even though if you know your school's schedule this year, it will be just the opposite next year in terms of the SEC games. Let's go to the calls and begin with Pat in Georgia. Hey, Pat, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. You know, I don't see so good, and I got my IT guy to help me fill out my bracket Monday night. And I've got UConn facing Houston in the final, and I'm taking Houston. They've really done well changing conferences. And I watched both play-in games last night, and I also watched Georgia play Xavier. And Georgia finally finished, and I heard that we've got a number 12 on ESPN's top 100 or 200 or 300 that is committed the next year. I think Mike White's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think Mike is a real good coach, and I think ultimately he'll break through and get to the NCAA tournament.
No, absolutely. Now Virginia stunk last night.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about Tony Bennett there. I mean, it was a couple years ago he won the national championship, but that program was a colossal failure last night and really throughout most of this season. Pat, thank you very, very much for the call. John is up next in Louisville. John.
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, you could build a house with the number of bricks that Virginia threw up last night, right?
No doubt.
Hey, is your show marked safe from Jim's calls today?
Yeah, I don't really want to add John to his discomfort, so I learned this from a little old lady when I was a very young man. I said something I shouldn't have, and she said, "Bless your heart."
Yeah. Well, he threw his friend Augie under the bus. You're going to have to talk to him about what he's been saying behind your back. Hey, Paul, my final four. I've got UConn, number one seed. Maybe Illinois could do better in the East. I've got North Carolina, number one seed in the West. Maybe Arizona at number two. This is a surprise to what I'm going to throw in. I got Texas A&M, number nine seed in the South. Houston's been hampered by injuries. Marquette's not that good at number two. Then you'll like this. I've got Tennessee, the number two seed in the North. Like Houston, there's too many key injuries for Purdue as well. And Creighton is just the flavor of the month. What's your thought?
Yeah, you know, I really, I think Texas A&M is a slight stretch, but Tennessee is not. I think this is Tennessee's year to get to end a lot of misery and get to the Final Four. Let's continue with more calls, and Daryl is in Baton Rouge. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, look, I wanted to thank the committee for putting me in the bracket.
Well, sure.
Bad thing is I'm in Legends bracket.
Hey, number one seeds go down all the time. Last year, the number one seed, Purdue, lost in the first round.
Mm-hmm. It's like the 16th team playing the first team if it was a basketball playoff. Hey, I went to a restaurant yesterday. You ever heard of Drago's, D-R-A-G-O, in New Orleans?
I sure have, sure.
Well, they opened one in Baton Rouge a couple of years ago. It's got like 50 tables in it. So I went there with my wife yesterday, and they got about 7-8 TVs in the bar on the wall, and they probably got like 5 out in the dining area, and you were on 4 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, folks at Drago's, thank you. Listen, I had a friend tell me he was on a cruise 2 weeks ago, and we were on in every sports bar. So, by the way, if you guys, I'm not trying to solicit this. Well, I am trying to solicit it. If you guys ever see us on anywhere, any place in a sports bar or a restaurant, snap a picture and we'll run it here because we need more of that, Daryl. Thanks to you, we were on in the barbershop.
Yeah, the volume was down, but I could see.
Of course,
who was calling.
I mean, most sports bars, most restaurants have the volume down.
Yeah, but I was glad to see you home. You know, that was a good deal.
I am glad to hear that.
Yeah, but other than that, grilled oysters is their main thing.
Yeah, no, I've been to Drago's in New Orleans. That is a big time restaurant, and I'm glad you guys had a good meal. I'm going to check that out when we're in Baton Rouge this fall, which we will be. Matt is up next.
Hey, brother, look, I'm sorry about that performance yesterday. I need to tell you something. I had to go to Mercy Clinic. I was trying to nurse some pain. It backfired on me. Mm-hmm. You know that problem I've been having lately? How to get the catheters for it? Well, I'm going to my family doctor. I did an image in Denton, and they're going to try to figure out what's going on with me in San Antonio, where I live right now with my sister, to move out.
Right.
Not lose her no more. I just want to say that was a pathetic performance. Give me another chance, Paul, to redeem myself. And look, I should not ignore the pain. But my family says I should do that sometimes. And, look, I appreciate everything you've done for me in my life. I mean that from the bottom of my heart with all you guys. And when I get married someday, which I'm hoping it will, I hope you'll be able to come there, you know, get drunk with me as well a little bit.
Well, Matt, it would be our pleasure to be at your wedding. And you continue to take care of yourself. Dwayne is up next in NOAA. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, man, what's wrong with that dude, man? That dude on cocaine? That dude high or something? What's wrong with Matt from San Antonio, man?
Hey, hey, Dwayne, Matt, let me say this to you. Matt's having a tough time in his life. We've all been there.
He got a tough time in his life.
Dwayne, you may be there again this football season if you have to face the Tennessee Balls like you did two years ago.
No, I'm not. Hey, the number one offensive lineman recruit. Number one offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah, I read all that.
Out of Mississippi,
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Miller.
Yeah, by the way, Dwayne, let me know when recruiting rankings equal national championships.
Hey, we're about to get the number one offensive lineman left tackle out of Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
Tell Legend that the number one offensive tackle, left tackle out of
Mobile. Tell that to who?
About to commit. He about to commit to LSU.
Okay.
Yeah, tell it to Legend. Yeah. Hey, that dude from San Antonio just had on the phone, whatever his name is. You give that man a shot of Noah Kane?
Hey, Dwayne, listen. Everybody's not riding high with your money. I mean, we're all trying to get by.
Somebody bring you to a wedding and get drunk with him and all that. Don't you want to do?
Well,
Paul?
No. Listen, if Matt gets married, I'll be there at the wedding.
Yeah, right. Some lie to that man like that, Paul. Hey, Paul.
And Dwayne, for some reason, you were to pass away. I'll be there. I'll be there at the funeral just to make sure.
Yeah. You'll be at my rebirth, huh? You gonna be dancing?
First of all, I want to confirm it with my own eyes before I dance.
You gonna pop up with the umbrella? You have the umbrella dancing?
I want to make sure you're in there, Dwayne. I'm just saying, hey, preacher, you mind if I take a peek before you start this eulogy?
Yeah, you better take a peek. Hey, you know me, I might rise up. Everybody run out the church, huh?
That would be funny, man. We're up against a break. I hate to interrupt, Dwayne, although I know most of you aren't sorry. We have much to do. We'll continue to share the schedules, which were announced today by the Southeastern Conference. We'll talk to Topmeyer, bottom of the hour. Your phone call's around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome all of you back. And how cool was that yesterday with 617? Just put your finger out. Anyway, let's get back to the calls here. And Dr. Chris, who is up next. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How's everybody doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I just, I didn't really give any warning on this, but this is my formal complaint that I'm now lodging on the air. To make my airtight case for why I should have been included in the caller bracket.
I like that. Go right ahead, because you may be in before the end of the day.
Well, listen, according to the Big Ten SEC coalition logic, I spent my first 23 years on earth living in Ohio, and I've spent my last 33 years living in Alabama, and therefore I qualify for dual Big Ten SEC citizenship, and as such, I'm announcing the immediate formation of the dual Big Ten SEC citizenship committee,
you're almost out of the show today. Committee,
of which I am the founder, chairman, and sole member. as a caller to the Paul Feinbaum show, it is unconscionable, egregious, and malicious to ignore me, especially as I have contributed a call of the year candidate involving a Christmas wrap during the 2020 holidays. And whereas the current bracket does not include any callers from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, this reflects an obvious anti-Tuscaloosaite bias. In the event any other caller from Tuscaloosa is included in the bracket, the Dual BS Citizenship Committee will immediately petition to substitute me as the only true qualified representative for both the committee and Tuscaloosa. And I also self-identify as a top four Feinbaum caller, and it is both prejudicial and personally triggering to me for the Paul Feinbaum show to either explicitly or implicitly communicate anything counter to that to me or anyone else in any way on any platform.
First of all, let me respond. Jim from Tuscaloosa was in the bracket, but he didn't just ask to be removed. He demanded to be removed. I believe Tanner is also from Tuscaloosa, and he is in the bracket, according to my bracket.
It doesn't matter. Much like the Big Ten, I will identify. I'm the only qualified representative.
Chris, the one thing I do like, the one reason why you do belong in the bracket is the fact that you could survive 31 years in a state like Ohio is pretty impressive.
Well, listen, I'm not done. That's the first of my logic.
Where did you live in that state?
In Ohio?
Yeah.
Just north of Dayton. So a little tiny little town that had one stoplight and no McDonald's.
Well, that's not bad. I've always thought of a friend of mine who just passed away recently was in Toledo. I always felt like Toledo, Dayton, Akron really catch the brunt for the Clevelands and the Columbuses of the world.
And Cincinnati, too.
I don't know much about Cincinnati. It seems like a fairly generic city to me.
It's all right. I mean, we would go down there and go the top six for six at Reds games and watch the Mets fans get drunk.
Cincinnati, and the one time I was there, I was struck by the fact that there's a bridge that takes you into Kentucky.
Yes. Well, the best view when you're going into Ohio, if you come over that hill out of Kentucky and you see all of Cincinnati laid out in front of you, it's the most beautiful sight on earth.
Yeah,
it really is.
I would agree with you.
Just on a drive. All right. So let me proceed to my, according to FSU logic, why I should be in. Ready?
Okay.
So I've had some recent illnesses that have kept me from calling in more regularly, but that cannot be held against me as protected status under any reasonable standard of law, as I expect to be well enough to participate at 100% by the time the caller bracket kicks off. Should the bracket not be...
Okay, let me do this, Chris. I will. You sound like you got too much legal knowledge for our taste, but I will... I'll negotiate that you will be... First one out.
Oh, listen. Here's the thing.
If something happens to one of our participants in this, you're in.
I'm simply following. If you'll listen, I'm simply following everything that we've heard from the Big Ten, the SEC, FSU, UCF last year, right? About why they should have been in or why they shouldn't have been out. And if this all sounds ridiculous to anybody, that's because it is. It is. Those kind of mental gymnastics.
Well, no one has ever been more ridiculous than UCF. That's the bad news. The even worse news is the athletic director that was at UCF throwing a tizzy fit is now in the SEC.
Yep. It's unfortunate because, I mean, I've called in before, right? So whether I'm in it or not, I'm going to claim I'm the actual winner. And if you fail to recognize that, I'm going to sue you guys. That's how that logic works.
Well, hey, by the way, right? I mean, works in this bracket. It works if you're running for president. It really works everywhere.
You're exactly right. At the end of the day, and this is really what this call is all about, all of that whining and campaigning and moaning, I can't stand it. That hurts a sport, any sport, more than anything. And if the way you get in is clarified well enough, then everybody's starting on an even playing field from that.
Did you just file a lawsuit against the ACC too?
You know what? I that's my next step because obviously the ACC is tortiously interfering with my ability.
Honk if you have not filed a lawsuit against the SEC.
You know, we saw this coming though, Paul, right? The moment, as soon as the dam breaks, even just a little bit, I mean, Clemson was the very next one that's going to go. There's going to be more that come out. I mean, the ACC will be done as soon as there's precedence. And we talked about this on the call earlier. courts are, the courts exist to ensure there's no reversible error in a decision, and that precedent are there, is a precedent that we can apply to this.
Right.
And all of those precedents are why it's all going to get dismantled. And what else? I mean, the ACC might be able to hold something together if they split football and basketball, but the football teams are coming out. Like, there's no way they would,
I think, you're, Chris, you're dead on. That league is, is struggling very much. Hey, thank you very much for the entertaining call. Catherine is up next.
Hi, Paul. Nice to talk to you. I want to tell you, it's been so long since we Gator fans have been able to chant, "It's great to be a Florida Gator." I'm telling you, this basketball team has just rebounded for us, and it's just awesome. We love Todd Golden, and he's so much like Billy Donovan, and I pray that
I'm glad to hear that.
You know, he'll be able to continue with, you know, the talent and stuff, but it's been so much fun to watch. And unfortunately, you know, it was sad that the young man got hurt in that final game.
That could be the difference in a long run of the tournament.
Well, it could be, and, you know, we'll never know. I mean, you know, what that would have done to the score. I don't know that, you know, we would have won, but it would have been closer. But listen, I want to just tell you something. You know, contrary to who makes the calls, and especially one, you have to be one of the best interviewers ever. I mean, and you just get better and better. That tournament last week in Nashville, those 3 days, you had some amazing interviews, and yesterday you had one with, and I didn't know him, Michael Bivens, but I recognize a lot of those groups. My son's 45, so, you know, being the cool mom, I had to keep up.
You know, Catherine, first of all, I appreciate that. I love that part of it, especially when I don't know, and when I get somebody I do know, it's I often get my own way, but that's a real challenge. I mean, I knew who he was. I knew his music a little bit, but no, I was not rocking out to New Edition in the 80s. Hey, thank you so much. You be well. You take care of yourself. You are a cool mom. And we are back. Blake Topmeyer will give us his reaction to the SEC's move today, Clemson's move yesterday, as we roll on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back. 30 minutes ago, the SEC announced yet another schedule. This was a similar schedule to the one we are about to see, an 8-game conference schedule. So one issue is now off the board this year at Destin. The question is what happens in the future? And Blake Topmeyer joining us now from USA Today. Blake, always great to have you on. Haven't really had a chance to get much reaction on what the SEC did today. They actually did a lot by revealing this. Your reaction to where we are right now with the SEC scheduling?
Yeah, it's interesting. I believe Texas AD Chris Del Conte actually broke this news a month ago. Del Conte, when he was meeting with some of his boosters and donors in a town hall, said that the SEC is sticking with 8 games in 2025 and may well go to 9 games in 2026. And his comments were a little bit overlooked at that time because it sort of happened behind closed doors, even though there was a video of the event. So, yeah, I mean, I think this was a very expected move when the SEC decided to stick with 8 at 2024. It made sense that they would do a home-and-home and then sort of reevaluate for 2026 and beyond. I don't think this necessarily guarantees that the SEC will be going to nine in 2026, but I think it goes back on the table for that season and beyond. But it's certainly doing the home and home here, and kind of a two-game slate to run out this playoff contract. I think this was kind of an expected move.
Blake, it was a talk of Destin last year when we were together on the beach, and then it came out in the right as it was ending that they were going to stay. There was a lot of outrage, some of it fake. It seems like it's calmed down now that everybody has had a chance to look at the schedule. There's still some shots from elsewhere, but as somebody who spends most of his time in this part of the country but writes for a national audience, what do you think it means that at least for now the SEC is staying where it is, where it's always been?
Yeah, I think the SEC makes decisions in large part based on what's best for business and what's best for its playoff opportunities, what's best for its national championship opportunities. And you know, I may want to see the SEC go to nine games just because I think that would be more compelling. I think there's a lot of fans that would probably enjoy seeing, you know, dropping a group of five game and sliding in another conference game. But it is hard to argue against the success record that the SEC has had doing it its way with the eight-game schedule. That worked wonders for the four-team playoff. The SEC always got a minimum of one team in, multiple times got two teams in. And, you know, we'll see what the playoff format looks like in future iterations. I think the SEC is very well positioned to get the format that it wants in the future, and I'm sure it will shape its schedule to react in kind. And, you know, with the playoff expanding to 12, 14 beyond, I think there was this assumption that would give the runway for the SEC to add that ninth conference game. That's what I believe. That's what many believe, because one loss won't be as damaging in a 12 or 14 team playoff. But I think there still has to be the appetite throughout the league to go to a tougher schedule, because that's what going to a nine game conference schedule would mean. And I think it has to make sense financially too. You know, I mean, we certainly got the idea in Destin last year that there weren't going to necessarily be more dollars from the SEC's media partners at ESPN if the SEC were to go from eight to nine at that time. And I know that really downplayed the eagerness from some school administrators to go from eight to nine. There's a feeling that when that happens, there needs to be some financial reward there as well. And that probably will happen down the road, but I don't think that was there for the SEC last year.
Speaking of the SEC's media partner, our next subject will be working for that media partner, probably already is. He also took some unusually rare criticism in some corners. I'm speaking of Nick Saban last week appearing on a roundtable. I think that would be a charitable way of putting it, from Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He followed that up. One of our guests yesterday said he was trying to clean up what was misinterpreted in his mind a couple of days later on Fox News, of all places, and he made it maybe sloppier. Those are the opinions of others. I have not been able to hear your opinion yet of Mr. Saban goes to Washington last week.
Yeah, my takeaway was that Nick Saban absolutely made the right decision by retiring based on his comments he made up on the Hill. I mean, I was kind of, when he did retire, I thought, well, maybe Saban had a few more years left in him and he was walking away. But after listening to him, you know, sort of bemoaning the direction of college football, I thought this is someone who has earned the right to retire and earned every dollar he ever made. Obviously, I think, you know, we heard some people grumbling about his salary at Alabama. No, I think he earned all that and frankly was probably worth more to the University of Alabama. However, when I hear him say things like all the things he believed in for 50 years in coaching no longer exist in college athletics, and he said that it had always been about developing players and helping people be more successful in life, and obviously implying that that's not what it's about anymore. I mean, if that's what he truly believes, and I don't know why he would have said it if he doesn't believe it, if that's what he believes, then he needs to be on the golf course. He doesn't need to be on a college football sideline. If he thinks that the only way to develop players is if they're unpaid and they're beholden to the school and they can't transfer freely, then I think it is time, for him to enjoy the fruits of a long career, a long, successful, unmatched career, and enjoy retirement and give way to a wave of coaches who maybe still think you can develop and have a positive impact on players' lives, even in this evolved, more challenging landscape for coaches right now.
Like, I know you're smart. You cover the sport. You've covered a lot of Nick Saban, but I'm going to sound like a Feinbaum caller here by asking you to elaborate a little bit on the line. He's not cut out for today's college football. I think I understand what you mean by that, but there will be some reaction today, and I just want to make sure we've given you a chance to address that.
Well, we need to go back to what Nick Saban said. He said that all the things he believed in college coaching no longer exist. And that's what I would just go back to. If what he believes in doesn't exist anymore in college athletics, then I don't think he should be working in that profession. I'm not saying he's wrong. He actually had some worthwhile ideas up on the Hill that I think partially by some of the other things he said kind of got overshadowed. I mean, he talked about revenue sharing, a revenue sharing plan with the athletes. I think what Nick Saban really wants back, Paul, is the control he had over the roster before some of these evolutions like NIL and like freedom of transfer. I think his comments could be twisted into saying he doesn't want players to be paid at all. I don't think that's what Nick Saban believes. I think he's fine with athletes making some coin. I think what he wants back is that roster control. And actually, I think there are a lot of coaches who would say the same thing. They're fine with players making money. What irritates them to no end is that they no longer have control over their roster. Players can be here today, gone tomorrow. And while I understand that complaint, that's also the realities that we're in right now in college football. And I mean, you know, in every line of work, things evolve. And as someone who works in that profession, you have to determine whether you still like working in that field, whether you still think you can have a positive impact in that field. And if you don't think you can have a positive impact in that field anymore, given the evolutions, then you should get out of that field. And that's what I mean when I say Nick Saban's not cut out for today's college football. These are the evolutions that are taking place. And if he doesn't like them, I think he's fair to dislike them. I think he raised some good ideas, whether they'll happen or not, whether they'll happen the way he wants them to happen. We don't know because it's a little bit beyond his control. My belief, though, is just if what he believed in across 50 years in coaching doesn't exist anymore in college football, then, again, I think it's best that he makes way for a new era of coaches who believe that they still can develop players and have a positive impact on players, even if they are making money, even if they have less control over those players and over that roster than what they used to.
Like, it seems like this is going to be a fascinating off-the-field story, and that is talking about Nick Saban. And it's hard to know, even being on a show like Game Day, how much seeing him every week is going to matter. I know there's an inflated, or maybe it's a legitimate view that everything Nick Saban says will be like folks on Wall Street listening to the Fed chairman on whether interest rates are going to go down. But I'm curious if you could look ahead, because clearly you're now the second person we've talked to in 2 days who, one was charitable, you're not quite as charitable, essentially saying that Nick Saban stepped in it last week by maybe telling the truth, but it just doesn't go well or juxtapose well with what he has done. How do you think he is going to fare in a world where the scoreboard is not going to help him any longer? His 7 national championships won't be a factor. He's going to be quoted in real time, and as we both know, there are a lot of vicious sharks out there on social media.
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether Saban waters down his comments when he's on Game Day, or whether he says what he believes. I mean, I think if he's worried about what people are going to write, if he's worried about what people are going to think of him, he'll probably water down his comments, which interestingly will make him a lot more boring on television. If he just says whatever he thinks, it's going to be much better television. And yeah, he's going to open himself up to more criticism. I think, I mean, Nick Saban knows that. He knows you accept an invitation to go up on the hill and make these comments that he made. He's been in this for so long. He can understand the reaction and the feathers that's going to ruffle in some corners, while, you know, the acolytes in Alabama are going to be nodding on along in an agreement and saying that everything he said is 100% correct. I mean, that's the way it is, as you know, Paul, anytime you have an opinion. So that's what I'm most interested to see, I guess, in this Saban on television, is what's he going to be? Is he going to say the guy who says exactly what he thinks, you know, criticism be darned, or is he, you know, going to try to please people in all corners and not ruffle any feathers? Like I said, it's going to be much better for y'all and much better for television if he doesn't care what folks are saying about his opinion, and he just puts out there exactly what he believes, whether he's right, wrong, or somewhere in between. And one more thing I'd like to add on this, Paul. We always hear that Nick Saban would be this great commissioner of college football. I actually don't share in that opinion, because I think, you know, this mythical position we're talking about, college football commissioner, which will probably never happen, you have to represent the interests of a lot of people to do that job well, I think. The coaches, the universities, the university brass, the conference commissioners, and also the athletes. You got to have your head on a swivel. I think Nick Saban is a great voice for the coaching industry. I think his opinions really speak to what a lot of coaches feel. I don't know that he always speaks to what other parties feel, which makes sense. He spent, you know, his career working in coaching, right? But I just don't know that he speaks for all parties concerned. However, what I think he would be very good at, very qualified for, is to be the president of the Coaches Association. Again, I don't think he's a great fit for this mythical college football commissioner role that we always talk about. I think he's going to put the priorities of coaches first and foremost in that role. But he would be great for president of the Coaches Commission. And what I heard from him at Capitol Hill last week, again, a lot of it got overshadowed by some of the things that I think were pretty questionable about what he said about no longer existing in coaching. But he did speak to a lot of the concerns that coaches do have right now about some things going on in the industry. And you know, he's a very powerful voice in that area.
Blake Todmeyer, thank you, Blake, from USA Today, talking about Nick Saban last week. You heard what he had to say. I haven't heard too many writers. Not only did he call the folks at prop Saban up in Alabama to be acolytes, he pretty much said Nick Saban wasn't cut out to be a college football coach anymore. We're talking about Nick Saban here. I'm going to have to get used to people saying things about that, like that about Coach Saban. We are back. Your reaction to all that in the next couple of hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out Rick in Houston. Good afternoon, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. So I've got some words for John from St. Louis and some words for Jim and an apology to you. But let's start off with John. John, let me tell you something, son, in your glass house, Major John, you couldn't carry AJ's jock strap, John, but I bet you'd like to snip it, John. I tell you what, John, why don't you put your hands in your pocket and play some pocket pool, John, if you can find any balls to play with, John. So, Paul, I want to apologize for my call from yesterday.
By the way, before you apologize for that, will you be apologizing tomorrow for your call today?
No, absolutely not. Okay. But I want to apologize for my call from yesterday because I think I prompted Jim to come in there and jump all over you.
You did.
So, Jim, let me tell you something, you lying, walking jackass. Paul has exhibited more grace to you than you've ever deserved. I never hear you mention the name of Jesus Christ. You're always talking about how God talks to you. Let me tell you something, Jim. If you talk to any man with any balls at all, they'd slap the taste out of your mouth. And if you were in Texas, I'd put a boot up your ass so far that the toad'd be sticking out of your mouth and you couldn't talk anymore, you piece of crap. Paul, I hope you have a good day.
Rick, thank you very much. You do not need to apologize for that call. Thank you. Jason is up next. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. Hey, we miss you here in Birmingham.
I hope everything's going
well for you up there.
By the way, I feel the same way.
I hung out with you a little bit at the tornado relief downtown.
Oh, yeah. You remember? Yeah, sure.
You asked me where the coffee was. I pointed you in the right direction. But this guy that you just had on, he has got me infuriated.
You're talking about Tom Meyer? Like,
yeah, where is this guy from? Obviously a place where we don't play real college football. Listen, Nick Saban, forget about the 50 years of it all or whatever. The guy recruited winners and he coached winners. And you better listen to somebody who has that perspective in mind. Do you think he just magically made all these accolades happen? It's because he was able to coach young men, teach them and train them. Does this guy think he abused them? He didn't abuse them. You just have to have authority and control.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.